I want to take a break from the podcast right now, and I want to give you a gift. And I want to do that to thank you for being a listener. I put my heart and soul into this podcast. I love interviewing today's experts, researchers, MDs, psychologists, sleep trainers, you name it. I hope you feel inspired to take care of yourselves and your families. And I just want to thank you for being a listener and hanging out with me. So the code PODCAST10 is going to give you a one-time $10 off code at kellylevesque.com, your next order of protein powder. You can either use that on my grass-fed beef isolate protein or on my new vegan chocho bean protein. Now, here's what I love about my protein powders. It's 3 ingredients or less. So we don't use fillers, emulsifiers, no fortified vitamins or minerals. It's easy to digest and naturally made without any enzymes or chemicals like hexane. So it's 3 ingredients. With my grass-fed beef isolate, that's 100% grass-fed beef, and it's made in the way that you would make bone broth. So just heat and water. And we dehydrate that end product to get that collagen-rich protein powder that your whole family can drink. It can be added to coffees, to smoothies, and you can get it in vanilla, chocolate, and unflavored. I want to point out that my vanilla and chocolate is made with organic vanilla bean, organic cacao, and the only sweetener used is organic monk fruit. We don't use any maltodextrin. Our monk fruit is 100% ground monk fruit, and it's organic. And with my vegan line, I'm so excited to have launched this and to have it out into the world. It's a regenerative bean from South America called the chocho bean. And the chocho bean is the most superior plant-based protein powder you can get your hands on, because not only is it a complete protein, but the process is made with heat and water only. They're crushed and soaked, and what that end product results in is an anti-nutrient-free protein powder. So you're not gonna have any lectins, phytates, or oxalates in your protein powder. Makes it super easy to digest, and it's really, really delicious and robust in cooking as well. So I love it if I want a thicker smoothie or a smoothie bowl. And I also love it in my baked goods, from my cookies to my muffins, pancakes, and breads. It's the perfect protein addition. So if you want to give either of these proteins a try, or you've already been purchasing these proteins and want to take advantage of this special deal, the code PODCAST10 is going to get you $10 off for being a listener here at the Be Well by Kelly podcast. So head to kellylevesque.com or bewellbykelly.com. Put the protein you'd like to purchase in your cart and use the code PODCAST10 for $10 off. Thank you, thank you, thank you for tuning in. Today's guests are my friends, Krista Williams and Lindsay Simzik. They are the hosts of the Almost 30 podcast and super curious about wellness. The podcast was nominated in 2019 as the best health podcast and in 2020 as the best spirituality podcast. And they have a massive following because they are real down-to-earth girls on a mission to make wellness, health, and spirituality accessible to all of us. Today, we're going to chat about their journey, what it took to start their podcast, how their lives have changed in the process, and what wellness modalities they now use personally to love and support their own bodies.
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah. Yes.
Perfect.
Okay. I just want to do that.
Cool.
How are you doing in this situation really fast? I just want to hear how you are.
Oh, you guys are the best podcasters. Already conversating, already asking questions. This is about you. I'm good. I was traveling so much in the first 2 months of the year, and this quarantine has brought so much clarity to me around my business and what I want to do and what I want to put out in the world and how much I want to share and like really like what my heart is all about. And it's because it's forced time to figure that out.
Oh my God. That's the yes. best thing I've ever heard in my life.
Yes.
That was so powerful.
So many things.
What is that clarity, I guess, just quickly?
I'm like, at a place where I'm finally launching my product. I'm finally launching my video course. I'm taping so many podcasts. I'm in my research. Like I'm in the minutia that I love to be in, and like being able to distill that down and share that, even if it's just having the time to write like a heartfelt comment on an Instagram post that's like, hey, here's something that can help you. Here's something that I did, or like something I read. Like I just want to get back to a place of like putting out a lot of free and tangible information that can change people's lives.
Oh my God. I'm obsessed with that. I'm so happy for you. Yeah. Just as funny too. Like now I look back at like it was like obviously 2 weeks ago, but it just realized how much we were running around. You know, you go to every event, you're so present with people in your community and your friends. Like I could only, same. Yeah, I completely agree. So now it's like, whoa, like what do I want to do when we're not running around, you know?
Well, that's what I want to get into. Well, yeah. I want to get into all the things, how you take care of yourselves, how you started, and I'll make sure that this is all on airplane mode, how you take care of yourselves, how, and what inspired you to start the Almost 30 podcast, such a phenomenally successful podcast and something that I know I look forward to every week and just like all of that. And then how you guys became friends and built enough trust to decide, like, let's start a business together. Because I know you each had personal health journeys and your lives started in different places and you came together. So let's start from the beginning. When did this soul sister, lovey, like business relationship, friendship really start?
Yeah, I think it started.
I was going to say it was a few centuries ago.
Yeah, honestly. Yeah, it was many lifetimes ago. It was when Lindsay was living in Los Angeles and I was moving from New York to Los Angeles and we didn't know each other at the time. And during that period of my life, I was in a corporate job. I was really unhappy. I felt really lost and I really wanted something more out of my life. I was always a seeker, but didn't know how to express, you know, that curiosity and that leadership that I craved. So I found SoulCycle and I fell in love with SoulCycle when I was living in New York. I auditioned. Didn't get it. It's actually way harder than you think. There's like a full-blown process for auditioning to be a SoulCycle instructor that people may not know about that I remind myself of when I'm feeling sad about me getting denied. But after I didn't get the first audition, I knew that I wanted to be better for the next audition because I felt so called to SoulCycle. So I started to actually get vocal lessons with a coach living in New York City. I would leave on lunch breaks during my corporate job, go all the way uptown, have a 45-minute session, come all the way back downtown to my job, and then do SoulCycle in the morning and the evening because I was so obsessed. So when my boyfriend and I at the time decided to move to Los Angeles, I thought it'd be a better opportunity for me to do Soul. And through that process, I was connected to Lindsay, who was an instructor here in LA. And I asked her about the process. She gave me all of these tips and resources that I was going to leverage when I auditioned again in Los Angeles. Well, I auditioned again. I didn't get it, but Lindsay and I became close friends or fast friends. And I just knew when we first met that there was something familiar about our relationship. I felt like I had this missing puzzle piece to my life, even though I didn't really know why, you know, what that feeling was. So we were both going through these transitions where I didn't get SoulCycle, this thing I was so passionate about that I was so obsessed with. I felt so lost. I felt like I was doing all the things. I was manifesting like the best I could. I felt like I was getting to know the right people. I was putting in the work and it just wasn't working. And Lindsay had been going through her own transitions. She had gotten out of a really long-term relationship that she felt like was going to be her person. So we were just coming to this place where we felt really lost and we felt like we didn't have the answers. And we felt like this period in our life was so much more transformational and important than anybody was letting on to be. And so, you know, I've always been someone that loved podcasts and Lindsay's always someone that is down to create. And we just said one day, you know, should we start a podcast? And, you know, 7 months of recording on our closet floors, like just messing up and failing and trying to figure out our structure and trying to figure out what we were doing, we launched Almost 30, you know, 6 months later. And, you know, about the business partner thing, like we had no idea it would be this. We had no idea it would grow into a team and a business, a brand, you know, like something that would be so legit that it is now. So it's not like we came in, we're like, are you going to be a good business partner? It's like our friendship really grew with the business and it's been really profound to have that relationship evolve as, you know, Almost 30 evolves. It's been so transformational for both of us. And it's been such a gift to like get on this wild ride that we've been on and, you know, connect with people like you. Like you came to our studio. The first studio we had, it was like this random office space we were like not even renting. They were giving us for free for who knows why. And you came in and you were one of our, you know, most impactful episodes we've had. Like yes. I felt like you really put us on the map and you've always been someone that's just always said yes whenever we asked. And that has always struck me and been something that I think about very often when I think about people that really, really show up for their community. And you've made such an impact on us and ours.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that makes me like a little bit emotional. I just think you guys are such stars and you shine so bright on your own. You definitely didn't need me, but I'm just really happy that you're following this passion and putting so much goodness into the world. I think you guys are one of the most authentic voices in the podcast sphere, like the two of you together and bringing each of your individual personalities and getting really real and raw and not over editing and just like being really true to who you are, which is really refreshing. And I think why you have such a sticky audience.
Thank you.
So what about you, Linz? How you obviously were having a personal transition and how has this podcast like changed your life and what were you coming to it for?
Yeah, I mean, when I was moving from New York to Los Angeles, as Krista said, I had just broken up with a long-term boyfriend who I thought was the one. And I've talked to many girls in our community since then who have kind of been through that where they think their life is going to be a certain way. And then something happens and you're on a completely different track. And at first, you know, there's so much resistance. Like I ended the relationship and in a way that I regret and would have done it differently if I could. But, so I beat myself up for way longer than I think I should have. And I was like in a very deep self-loathing state for, 6 to 9 months after that happened. And then, I found SoulCycle during that time. And it was really something that where I could express myself. I really relate to expressing myself through like my physical body. And so the fact that I could move every day and to the rhythm of the music was just something new and exciting for me. So I was writing, I was draining my bank account, going to classes. And eventually I became friends with a couple instructors and they would allow me to ride up on the podium and then I could get it for free. So that worked out. And then I eventually auditioned, became a SoulCycle instructor. And that set me up to move out to Los Angeles. They called me one night, 3 months into me teaching and said, do you want to go to Los Angeles? And it just felt kind of like this beam of sunshine because I was like in such a dark place post-breakup and quite literally in my dark apartment in New York. I was just feeling, New York is, I love New York, but it's really intense. And I think my nervous system was like, hey, y'all, can we get a break? So I said yes without even thinking. And, 6 weeks later, I was living in Los Angeles teaching SoulCycle. And when I met Krista, like she said, we didn't know. Like, I didn't know that this was going to turn into something. I'm always down to start something. Like, I like made a web series in New York. I like did all these random things, not knowing what they were going to become, but like, I just loved the doing of it because it just filled me up so much. And so when Krista asked me, like, do you think we could start a podcast after all the conversations we were having? I was like, yeah, let's try. Like, I have no idea, but like, I'm down to learn and try. And so I think that process in itself just taught me so much about like myself and how, I had this story that like I would always give up on things and I would never finish things. And I always refer back to this because I didn't, we showed up every single day for it. And it just felt so good to see it turn into something that actually made an impact and that was actually like reaching people. And something that was just so consistent, and in the process, it's healed me like a million times over, whether it was that old relationship or healed my relationship with my body, like respecting my body more, not drinking as much, not like putting myself through 8 HIIT workouts in a day and eating well. Like there's just so many things that it's healed. So, continuing on the ride, it's now our full-time business and I'm still learning a lot.
What I heard you say, which really resonated with me was that you were telling yourself the story that you didn't have follow through. And I think that can be so hard for people when they have a story that they tell themselves and they never can get over that hump. What do you attribute that follow through to?
I think for me, it just comes down to trusting myself. And so actually like right now in this time. I don't know when this episode is coming out, but now that we're in isolation and I've just had a lot of time to think and things come up, I think that's one of the biggest things I want to look at and am looking at is like, I can trust myself. I can trust myself to make decisions. I can trust myself to own projects within the business. I can trust myself to be in a new relationship and like be happy, you know, like just all these things. And what's really helped, and for anyone out there that relates, like just doing little things every day that actually build that trust muscle. So if I say to myself, like, I'm going to wake up, I'm going to meditate tomorrow and take a walk, and I actually do it, then I'm like, I trust myself. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So see, like these little proxy situations that can help you build that muscle so that when you show up for something a little bit bigger, then you're like, I got me, you know?
Yeah, it can still be scary and you can still do it. But then you just do it a few days and you're like, no, I got this. Mm-hmm. And then you look back. I'm sure you guys look back now. What episode are you taping now? Do you know?
310?
Yeah, like 300.
Yeah.
Isn't that insane?
That's madness.
Oh, people like, for like, I listened to that episode. I'm like, which, like, it's so hard because I'm like, they're like, I remember when you said this. I'm like, no, I don't. Like, that was too, I feel like we were different people too.
Always.
When people listen to like the first episodes, you know, the first 10, 20, maybe 30 episodes, it's like, I was a completely different person. And that's what's interesting about podcasting is, and it's something that you'll probably notice as well through the process. It's like, it's such a great indicator and like, it's a journal. Like, you know, it's my diary. It's us being really honest about what we were going through at the time. And you can hear changes in our voices. You can hear changes in the way that we speak. You can hear changes in the way that we interact with our guests. It's like, it's the most public diary that anyone could have. And it's just been really powerful to like put that out there and just trust that like we can grow through the process. And like, it's okay if it's never perfect. It's okay if we sound silly sometimes, if we're not clear, but like we're always going to commit to trying to be better and to really just showing up, you know, as authentically as we can.
It's such a growth tool as well. What are some of the lessons you've learned in being owners of a phenomenally successful podcast?
For me, it's, there's so much. I mean, it's a mirror, you know, every single time I listen to the podcast, I find a new opportunity for me to speak more clearly, to refine what I'm talking about, to like think about what I'm saying, to think about my opinions, to think about, you know, the way I'm engaging with people. It's like, thinking about how, you know, critical people can be on a normal basis. You know, people are so critical of themselves, and a podcast is that mirror. This is my personality. This is the way that I'm feeling and thinking and acting at this specific time and place in time, like you know, this specific time and place. So every time I listen, I'm like, oh, do I really still think that way? Do I really still believe that? Am I like on board with the way that I'm showing up in the world? So it's just been like the most powerful transformation tool for me. And then too, it's like we have an audience of women and girls that listen all the time. So to hear the way that they're interpreting our information or what we're doing is also another added layer of like pressure. So it has made me be harder on myself in a lot of ways, but then also way more forgiving on myself because I feel like I have the support of our community who really like respects and supports us no matter what. Like it shows me beautiful aspects of myself by, you know, the feedback and the comments and just the growth. But then, you know, as an internal thing, there's also just like opportunities to always be better that are really apparent.
and the piece on change, like just how we're like always changing, I think attributed a lot to just what we're exposed to on the podcast. So we're always like trying these practices and modalities and all of this. And so we're constantly changing. And for our community to see that and then to like have grace for their own evolution has been really cool. I think there are times at which we, I guess nervous is the right word, but like get nervous to like kind of show this new part of ourselves because they're used to this Krista and Lindsay. Mm-hmm. But it's actually our responsibility to continue to evolve and share with them honestly and vulnerably so that they feel empowered to evolve themselves. Because a lot of these women are like in places where, you know, energy healing and eating healthy is like not a thing. Mm-hmm. And yeah. so like, to empower them to be able to change and evolve where they are is really important to us. So we have a responsibility to just kind of share that as we go along.
I think that's why your podcast is so refreshing and why you two are both so real in my mind as like just like girlfriends, like people I'd want to have a glass of wine with, people I'd want to take a yoga or a SoulCycle class with, like could easily hang out with you guys for hours. So I feel like your listeners feel the exact same way. It's that transparency and authenticity. But so often we feel committed or married to these like decisions we're making. Like it, that's kind of how I feel about creating, and even with my editors who want like books that give like details and exacts. And I'm like, I'm not an exact person. Like I'm a really fluid, light structure type of person. I like to be able to change. And you guys do too. It's like that, that feels good. Growth feels good. Evolution feels good. What are some of those things that people that have come on the podcast and changed the way you live your life and opened your eyes to maybe it is energy healing or crystal healing or whatever? Like what would you say, what podcasts or modalities have made like the biggest impact on your life?
I think for me, the Reiki healing has been the modality that's made the most impact. I mean, you know, so I am now trained in Reiki. I've gone to Reiki 3 and I just use it on myself, but it's been really profound to understand my own physical energy, to be able to pull my energy back in, to manage my energy, to like, you know, balance my own chakras. And it's really helped me to hold space for a larger community of people. Reiki is definitely my favorite. I still see healers regularly, but even, you know, to you, like when you first came on and told us about the Fab Four, like it's changed my life. You know, I think it was something that mm-hmm. was so profound for us in our community. And even my fiance's mom has your book. It's changed her life. So, you know, it's things like that where we get, are given these gifts every single day with all these healers to like have something that's going to impact us, on a grand scale. Mm-hmm.
I would add like Human Design has been like really, really helpful. Our friend Jenna Zoe is kind of like our go-to expert, but you know, just kind of learning more about ourselves through a modality like that has helped me to have a bit more like grace as I go along and learn and really love parts of myself that maybe I didn't love before. You know, if I come into this world as a manifesting generator and I'm supposed to be lit up by my work and like energy is generated because I'm lit up by the work and I'm supposed to exhaust that energy in the work, then, you know, I can't beat myself up for when like I'm doing something I'm not so passionate about and I'm like, why am I so tired and lethargic and I'm not showing up for it and I'm avoiding it, mm-hmm. you know, just like understanding ourselves better. And then, you know, just simply therapy has been so helpful. EMDR, I last year was like a really intense every week therapy and for me, and it just felt like the right time. Now it's just whenever I need it. And I just found so much healing in, you know, through EMDR, going back to like those moments in my childhood where like I needed, you know, love, trust, compassion, whatever it was. And just kind of going back and like reprogramming that has been really, mm-hmm. really powerful.
Yeah. The inner child work and the subconscious reprogramming work too has been mm-hmm. profound, you know, that we've seen our community really leverage an understanding of our subconscious mind that can, like you said, when we were talking about the stories that we need to work on to change, to see results in our life. If we think about our subconscious, that is really what's running a lot of the reality that we perceive, to work to reprogram that so that you can allow yourself more abundance, better health, better relationships has also been really, really profound. But, you know, as a last thing, just through all of these, it's like, they're so amazing and fun and grounding and they've fulfilled me so much, but it also, there's a lot of work that we've done with this, you know, a lot of the inner work, a lot of this podcast has led us to do a lot of inner work, whether that's through therapy mm-hmm. or otherwise. It's like, we're not immune to doing, you know, the work to be better for our community and for ourselves.
It's really beautiful. What do you think, Have there been specific practitioners that you lean on more than others, or are there, or do you feel like there are things that just like didn't work for you? Because I think a lot of times people, when they listen to a podcast about EMDR, they listen to a podcast about Reiki, and they're like, either they're hesitant or they're open to it, but sometimes it just isn't the right fit for people. Was there anything that wasn't a good fit for you, or you know, lessons that you've learned along the way?
Yeah, I think Ayurveda, like no shade, but like has never clicked for me. Like I literally have like tried to get into it. I've tried to, I understand it from a macro level, but I'm like, okay, so I am this part, but I am acting this part. And then sometimes I need to balance this part. Like the mathematics behind all of the doshas and like how we show up is just too much for me. So I've always been like, yeah, that's really cool. And it works for a lot of people, but Ayurveda has never like made sense to me. I need it to be a little bit more static than what it is. But we've tried like everything, you know, we've tried things for, like electro, we've tried ayahuasca, we've tried, different types of healings. We've tried some healings that didn't work. Akashic records, I don't think felt like it resonated for me. But one of the things that I've found to be really profound as far as healings and figuring it out was like the healing or whatever it is will find you at the right time. I tried Reiki maybe 10 years ago and I felt nothing. I was like, okay. But now it's just a huge part of my growth and transformation. And really it's the intention and the belief behind it actually working that is so profound. And the first time I had Reiki, you know, more recently with Milana Snow, who's one of our favorite healers, I cried for 3 days. And I didn't realize that was why, but then once I was like integrating the work and doing more research out of like a genuine curiosity, I was able to like go back and think about, you know, what about this made such an impact on me. And it's really that like small curiosity that people should follow of like what they're interested in and what feels good. And it doesn't always need to be so profound where people are like seeing these drastic transformations right away with all of these healing modalities, say acupuncture, Reiki, energy healing, Qigong, et cetera. It's like the small things that really lead up to like the more impactful transformation that will last. Because sometimes when it's too much too soon, it's not going to stick and people won't really like let it integrate. And sometimes the more gentle healing or practice is going to be the most profound.
Yeah, I think practice is the key, where it's like this consistent touch point.
Mm-hmm.
Like for me, breath work is that. So like if I'm doing breath work twice a month, I just noticed such a difference. Even I've been doing it consistently probably for like 4 months. And like now it's like I get there sooner. Like there's just this like unavoidable like clarity that comes through. So I love that modality, but I think it is that consistent practice. Mm-hmm. So important.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's go a little bit deeper because I think now I have a little bit of an idea of what modalities each of you guys are using. So Krista, will you explain what Reiki is and what tools you're using every day to kind of check in with your energy?
Yeah. So the way I explain Reiki is that it's basically life force energy, and life force energy exists all around us. And life force energy is what basically makes something living and not. You know, we're all made of energy. Energy is not created or destroyed. So it's really just transformed. So to allow more life force energy into the body has these energy centers that are also called chakras. And the chakras live at different points within your body. And if those chakras are open and working properly, you have the ability to have and hold more life force energy through your body. And, you know, the way that it's explained to me is that the healer or the Reiki, the person that is performing Reiki, is able to channel through their chakras life force energy from source or universe. And this is done by an attunement and using ancient Reiki principles that allow this life force energy to be shared. So it's actually something that was very out there for me. It didn't really make sense. It didn't really feel grounded until I experienced it and was open to it. And just the understanding of like general energy overall really helped me to kind of understand that, you know, our energy, which we all have and we all can manage and we all can keep healthy, can be done through this. So the way in which that I use Reiki on a daily basis is just through self-healing. So by putting my hand over the chakras on my body, say it's my heart, or say it's my sacrum, you know, that need more connection or love, I can be my own healer. And, you know, this has been an ancient practice for a long time. And if you think about when you're little and you fall down and hit your elbow, what does your mom do? She puts her hand on your elbow. You put your hand on your elbow. You know, these are just kind of subtle ways in which we naturally gravitate towards putting our hands as our healing centers on our body when we need it most. So by doing that and using the intention of healing or love or grounding or space, you're able to bring, you know, whatever that feeling is that you're craving back to your body. And then from an outward perspective within, you know, almost 30 in our events, it's just really profound for me to understand how I'm managing my energy in big rooms and, you know, with a lot of people. And before, I used to be someone that would be so drained after big events and seeing so many of our community. And because I was just giving energy and I was just expelling energy, and I felt like it was like I was just emptying my bucket and just giving everyone everything because I wasn't allowing myself to receive. So when I thought about, you know, it as a circle and as a continuous, almost like an infinity symbol where I would give to my community and I would allow their energy to be received by me, it allowed me to feel more energetic and able to really hold space for women and have the energy to do 2 years of tours. We were on tour for 2 years and have the energy to like sustain. So I think there's an energy hygiene that you have to really think about when you're engaging with people and interacting with people, and people want to have good energy. I mean, when you meet someone and they have good energy, everyone understands what that means, and Reiki can be powerful within that. So it's the intention of it, and it's the power of just like life force energy that anyone can tap into. But Reiki is a good structure for people understanding how to use it just like generally.
I love that. So I am definitely one of those people that can, at certain points, feel drained from events. How or what tools should I use to accept energy back from people?
Well, I think it's like, you know, I even took it as like, as something, you know, when you're at an event, Kelly, like people are like, you are amazing. They are telling you repeatedly how amazing and impactful you are. And people are being truthful about that.
Yeah,
they love you and you've really impacted their life. So before I'd be like, oh no. And I would kind of disregard it. I'm like a Midwest person. So I'd be like, oh no, whatever. I'm a huge loser. You know, just say whatever. And like, I would actually not, and in turn, I wouldn't just say, thank you, I'm amazing. But I would actually think about and like take what they said seriously and be like, wow, I'm really taking that in. And like, think about it physically, the energy of their gratitude and their love going into my body and filling me up and able to help me sustain. Because it's almost a denial of energy that I was doing before, where I wouldn't let these people say nice things to me, be kind to me, support me, share how we've impacted them. And now I really see it as like fuel for my energetic body, because they're giving me this pure love and light that like I've given to them through the podcast or other things. So it's really just allowing and of receiving of those compliments and goodness. And, you know, for people that aren't at events or speaking publicly, it's like, through the day with people that you love. Sometimes even when I'm with Justin and we're just holding each other or hugging each other, I just think about his love energy filling up my body and then me giving him that love energy back, and this cycle of love that you can do with people that you love all the time.
What a lucky guy.
Totally.
It's
witchcraft on him and he has no idea, basically.
I am a little bit of a visual learner. Probably not a surprise, like math and science, but I can literally picture like almost like gold honey, like floating in between the two of you, just like in that infinity sign back and forth. Like what a beautiful visualization to really manifest that love energy for one another too.
100%. And it's proven by science. You know, if you hold someone longer than 8 seconds, I think you both release dopamine within the brain. So it's kind of like the manifestation of that love energy in your brain. It's like giving you the hit of happiness and joy when you hug someone for, you know, 8 seconds.
You know, I'm going to use this on all of my future children. When Bash is old enough to understand it, I'm going to be like, you need to hug mommy for 8 seconds. Like,
yes,
there's a countdown clock here. And I'm actually going to probably use it on Chris too. I'm always hanging all over him like a monkey. And he's like, what are you doing, woman? Get off me.
Just say, you want dopamine or not?
Yeah, totally. I got drugs for you. You ready?
Yeah, honestly, I got that shit.
I got that on hook. Linz, let's get into breath work and EMDR, because people throw around EMDR in LA like it's LOL, but no one knows what the heck you're talking about. So let's get into that therapy modality and then breath work. And are you doing these both guided or on your own? And how does it work?
Yeah. So basically, and I just want to like pull this up just so I'm not speaking outside of what it actually is, but my experience with EMDR, I'll do like a layman's term explanation, because when she initially described it to me, my therapist, I was like, sure, okay. I don't know.
I'm open to whatever.
So it stands for eye movement desensitization and reprocessing. But basically, when we're in kind of like a talk therapy session, usually when I'm talking, something that I say, feel, touch on will evoke an emotion. And so we kind of use that emotion as a starting point to go then deeper. So instead of like keep going along the surface of like, oh, okay, so you're sad about that, and then you're sad about that, and you're scared of this, it's like, no, okay, all right, let's actually open up the hole a little bit and we're going to go down deeper. And so she takes out her little wand and we do like rapid eye movement. So I'll follow the wand back and forth. And she just asked me to follow that feeling. And so I will. And you kind of feel into it and it's not comfortable whatsoever. And I couldn't believe it. But the first time I did it, like it showed me this very clear scene in my childhood of like where this came from. And I was like, whoa. And it's a memory that I remember. Like I remember it happening. It's not like I'm bringing up a memory that I had no recollection of, which can happen, by the way, but I definitely remember happening, but I didn't realize that this memory held so much like pain and trauma and kind of like flicked a switch for me at that time. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of what has been so powerful, because what we'll do is, you know, we'll keep going deeper. Like she'll kind of be like, okay, that feeling, let's go deeper. And we'll go as far back as I can. And usually what we'll do is however far back we go, it is that age that I will visit as like myself now. And we will kind of have this conversation where I can really provide like what she needed at that time. Because like she keeps coming up in my adult self. So like she keeps coming up in, you know, situations, whether it's in the business with Krista or my relationship or with my parents, like she'll keep coming up and I won't know it's her. But now that I know that this feeling of like unworthiness is her because she experienced this way back when, I can kind of like have a conversation with her and self-soothe her in the moment. And eventually like she is like less prominent in my everyday. So it's been really powerful, and you kind of have to allow yourself to go there. I think some people come to therapy and be like, this is stupid. This is so stupid. Like I'm not talking to my younger self. Like she doesn't exist. It's like not here. It's not, you know, you really have to get out of your own way, get out of your head and really into your heart. And I've always been good at like imagination and kind of going there. So it worked for me very quickly. So that has been really powerful in therapy.
It's funny because I've talked to people about EMDR for our traumatic birth experience, Bash and I.
Oh, yeah.
And have done like a version of that type of therapy where it was really emotional release therapy, mm-hmm. where basically you don't do much talking, you get to that place and then you're just asked to like be in your body and you just cry. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Which is like weird because most of the time we don't allow emotion to be evoked and we don't stay mm-hmm. in the uncomfortable place and think about it or release. And I think whether you're like crying or having like a body release or you're talking to that little Lindsay, mm-hmm. if that little Lindsay is coming back up and telling you these stories about yourself, that's, you know, that's real because it's affecting your life now. And it's affecting your decisions, your trust in yourself and all of that. It's really, really powerful. I think I could see how, because you're so creative and expressive, that that would work so powerfully for you. Mm. And I'm sure so many people listening, I mean, you're making me want to go do it more. Because I've had, you know, things come back to you a couple times. And I think, Krista, you were kind of telling this, saying this same sort of a thing. It's like when people say or come at you in a lighter way, in an easier way, in a less forceful way, and you hear it a couple times, you're like, oh yeah, maybe I will do Reiki. EMDR. That's pretty interesting. Again, coming up. So how is breath work? I mean, I could see how breath work would be a really complementary modality to EMDR. Are you practicing that alone, or are you with an instructor, or how is it working for you personally?
Yeah, it's been a really great supplement to therapy. I feel like it's like the integration piece. So what I've done over the last few months is our friend Bree Melanson does like a digital breath work. So like once a month, sometimes twice a month, on a weekend for a couple hours, she'll host this breath work session. So people from all over the world can join, and she can see everyone on Zoom, just like we're here now. And like she makes sure she sees everyone so it's safe, but then people are in the comfort of their own home. They have Bree's playlist that they're going to play, but you're on mute. And so I just feel really safe. I feel really comfortable to let go, because that's what breathwork is for me, is kind of this processing, this integration, and then the release. I feel like, you know, we're all running around so quickly. We need to be a certain way for certain people, and we're really unable to like let it rip on a regular basis. And so for me, breath work has been that. So there's like audible releases after we get into like the cadence of the breath, which is an open mouth, like a two-part inhale, belly, chest, and big exhale out the mouth. Kind of like a holotropic breathing. Some people might feel high, a little lightheaded, but ultimately for me, it gets my body really tingly and accesses like emotion in my body that needs to be released. And the audible releases, like yelling, screaming, crying, whatever comes out, is like I've never felt better in my life. Like afterwards, it's a lot of work. You know, I kind of like avoid going into it sometimes. I'm like, oh my God, this could be so much work. And then on the other side, you literally feel clear. You feel lighter. I've felt just like immense like gratitude and joy for no reason that I can recollect. It's just like for being. And then just navigating in days following, I'm like, oh, like I was holding on to so much. So for me, it's been the consistency that's really helped. So at least once a month, sometimes twice a month, to just as like a little hygiene thing, flush through anything that's stuck, anything that might be affecting your day to day.
Sounds like it's bringing clarity to your true self. It's so amazing to me that you guys came together at a place in your life, almost 30, which are you both 30 now, right?
Yes.
Yeah, we're okay. Not.
Coming on.
Still babies. It's a really powerful age. I think about 27 to 32 is like a powerful 5 years where so many women wake up to like what they want to do in their life and have confidence they never had before, clarity, the ability to make decisions and move forward with those decisions. I was 27 years old when I started Be Well by Kelly, or decided to go back to school. Like it was a really powerful age for me as well. What do you attribute that to for you guys as like a, let me clarify. Krista, let me clarify. I'll probably go back and edit. No, I won't. I'm just curious for you guys. I mean, you came together and you obviously like had the idea and you just went for it. What advice do you have for people that are in that space and at that age that have like a big idea or want to become entrepreneurs and like start something? Like what's your advice for them?
Well, just to first talk about like, you know, the time between 27 and 32, it's actually in astrology called your Saturn return. And that's when Saturn, the planet, which is really is a serious planet that asks you to take a look at your life and the way that you're showing up. And if you're not showing up in an aligned way, it can be a really challenging time, or it can force you to make decisions like you made, which is like, all right, time to stop messing around. I'm going to actually do the thing that's been calling to me that I love and really take myself seriously. So for most, it's, you know, almost 30 is the support during Saturn return. And for me, my Saturn return was just the clear example of like the ways in which in my life I wasn't stepping in my power. I wasn't taking myself seriously. I wasn't honoring parts of me like slowing down, you know, or like friendships. And so my advice, I think, for people that I say is like to take yourself more seriously. I just think like Saturn, it's such a serious time because the decisions can impact you for the rest of your life. You can make decisions of who to marry, you know, to start a family. Hopefully at this point, people are, you know, making a little bit more money so they know if they should invest, save, or if they're paying off debts, it can be a really impactful time in that way. I think people really come into their own and people need to know that they're worth it enough to like go back to school, to build the business, to invest in themselves, to take leaps outside of what they're doing to create a dream life, you know, that they love. And it just feels really profound because it's finally like a time in your life where you don't feel so attached to those old paradigms and ideals of who you are. You know, you're not as close to your college friends or people you went to school with, or you're out of the nest with your family for quite some time now. So you're really establishing who you are and your identity in the world. And taking risks is like, okay, this is the time to take risks and like leverage that ability to like care less about what people think and really use it to like make a life that you love forever. You know, this is the foundational time period for like building everything, I feel like.
Mm-hmm. And I would just say too, like with that seriousness, it's like knowing that this is going to be a transformational time, like getting excited rather than paralyzed by it. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like you can really leverage every moment that feels overwhelming, like that feels like a challenge. It's like, okay, this is a part of it. Like when I get to the other side, I'm going to be a more confident, evolved, aligned human being. So like it's almost, you know, I would suggest if I knew about this when it was going on, I mean, we were exploring it, like beginning to explore it when it was going on for us, but like going back and just like making promises to myself, like really promising that like when I'm feeling overwhelmed, like I'm going to have compassion for myself, but never turn back on what's in front of me. Like promising that, you know, I'm going to like nourish my body during this time. Promising that like I'm going to pour into my passions, whatever it is. Like I do think like having those as cornerstones to kind of protect you as you navigate is really important.
You guys have had, I think you both have said so many profound things on this podcast for the listeners, just thinking about trusting yourself and following through, really protecting your energy and knowing how to access your past and heal that so that you really can step into the best person that you are.
Yes.
I seriously love you ladies so much. I'm so excited to put this podcast out into the world and just share this energy that you both have and that you both bring. Just such authenticity. And if people haven't heard of the Almost 30 podcast, I'm curious where you live, because how is that possible? Also, go follow along with Lindsay and Krista. Why don't you guys share where they can continue to get all this juicy good stuff?
Yeah, so you can find Almost 30 wherever you find podcasts, Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, SoundCloud, YouTube. And then Almost 30 Podcast on Instagram is a great place for us. You can find any information there. And we have 3 episodes together, I think. Mm. So you can search Kelly Levesque, Almost 30, and find all of our episodes, maybe starting from the beginning. Almost30podcast.com for all things related to the pod.
Yeah.
We awesome. Love I love you guys so much. We have one last question before we go, and that is, what does body love mean to you?
I think body love for me has been just this commitment to a conversation like with my body, because I feel like it's always been talking to me, but I only in recent years have been listening and responding. So the more that I've done that, the more appreciation I have for my body. I'm like, whoa, you are so smart. You know all things. Like, and so it just ups my responsibility to it and the way that I nourish my body, the way that I allow it to recover, the way that I listen to it. So it's just a really beautiful conversation.
Mm. Yeah. And for me, the body love, you know, happened when I started to love myself overall, you know, myself from the inside. And that sounds really cliche, but it really just was eye-opening for me when I recognized and realized that like my body is the expression of who I am internally. And that like, it is part of the whole package that makes me unique. You know, that I am one of one, everyone is one of one. And this like body expression is just part of that whole package. And without it existing the way it does, I wouldn't be the person that I am today from like an inside out perspective. So body love is appreciation for myself as like the unique person that exists on the inside and then on the outside.
So beautiful, both of you.
Let's get it. Let's jump in that bed together.
Yeah, come on over. You can get in my big bed.
I'm down.
There's space when Chris isn't here and the gummy bear. But when everybody's in the bed, I'm like half off. I love you guys so much. Thank you for your time today. I wish we weren't in quarantine. I wish you could actually be in this bed with me. But we will have an opportunity to get back together soon. So yes. I love you guys so much. Thank you for your time. I appreciate you. And I'll keep you posted on when this goodness hits the world.
Perfect. Love you so much.
You're the best.
Love you guys.
Thank you for listening to Be Well by Kelly. Please subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Learn more at bewellbykelly.com and follow me on Instagram at bewellbykelly. I would love if you picked up my books, Body Love and Body Love Every Day. They're sold on Amazon and at all major booksellers.